It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle, as promised, looking around the nation in the college football playoff, the four-team field. We've been discussing this from every angle possible for weeks. It's nice to just finally have a field, a four-team field to look at. This segment brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Greg, number one is Alabama. That much we knew. Number two is Clemson. That much we knew. Number three, Notre Dame, would make sense. They're 12-0. They're undefeated. They were off this past weekend. Number four was the spot that's really up for debate, I suppose. But in my opinion, the committee got it right with Oklahoma, a 12-1 Big 12 champion. Really impressive performance. Maybe one of the more complete performances of the year to win the Big 12 title game against Texas, the team that beat them 48-45 a little while back. So what were your thoughts? Was Oklahoma the right choice in your eyes? Is that who you expected them to pick?
Yeah, I mean, I just said, you know, like we talked about a few minutes ago, I just think that the fact that, you know, two losses, you were out, and that was pretty much the deal. And then, you know, there was some serious conversation out there Saturday night and early Sunday about, well, Georgia, you know, they have an issue get in, and, you know, they're one of the four best teams, and yada, yada, yada. And it just wasn't, you know, it didn't make logical sense. And then when the committee chair came out and said, well, we followed the book pretty much to a T, well, then you know for a fact that Georgia had, you know, no real chance. I don't really understand why they were ranked ahead of Ohio State. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. It doesn't really matter, though, in the grand scheme of things. But, yeah, I just, you know, there was no compelling reason I could think of to jump Ohio State over Oklahoma. And after that, there really wasn't any conversation to have.
Yeah, and, you know, I get it. You know, Georgia looked good. They look like they can play with anybody. You can say, you know, subjectively, that you believe they're one of the top four teams in the country. And I would listen to that. I think that's fair. That's a really good team. But at the end of the day, they lost a conference championship game. They lost by 20 points on the road to LSU. They kind of gave away the SEC title game, if we're being honest about that. Kirby Smart with that fake punt call, which I'm all for aggression. I'm all for, you know, in that situation, but there's sometimes a fine line between aggression and stupidity, and that will cross the line into stupidity. So they kind of gave that game away. I think with the committee, Greg, anytime you have teams that are in the same neighborhood as each other, which let's just say Georgia and Oklahoma, obviously in the same neighborhood as each other in terms of overall resume, one loss versus two losses kind of wins the day. They discuss a kind of revolving set of criteria where there's no one thing that they're going to place above another. It's a general feel kind of thing. In this situation, you have an Oklahoma team that has looked awfully good, and I love the matchup with Alabama in that first round of the playoff. Kyler Murray against that Bama defense, that is going to be a fun game to watch. I hope Oklahoma's defense can hang in there. But when you compare Oklahoma side by side to Georgia, one team lost one game. One team won a conference championship. The other team lost two games, did not win a conference championship. The number of losses is the most consistent thing from year to year that you can point to. If you have two losses and there are other good teams with one, you are probably not getting in.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, the only way you can guarantee yourself a college football playoff spot is to go undefeated, unless you're UCF, of course.
It's a different story for a different day.
Yeah. But so if you're a Power 5 school, the only thing you can do to guarantee yourself is to go undefeated. If you don't go undefeated, like we talked about earlier, you put it in the hands of the committee, and they have to make a decision whether or not, based on resume and everything else, which one lost team is the best. Now, if whenever you get to a point where there'd be, you know, only three undefeated and or one lost teams, and everybody else has two losses, well, then yeah, you have another decision to make, and there'd be a first. But until that time comes, I can't see a two lost team getting in if there's one lost teams that won their conference championship game available. Or in the case of Ohio State 2 years ago, which has made the Urban Meyer comment so incredible that, you know, conference championships should carry weight. Well, if they did, did, you know, Ohio State would have been left out back in 2018 or 2016. But you can have the same conversation there. If Penn State doesn't have two losses, it has nothing to worry about. So I just think that ultimately at the end of the day, you can talk about conference championships, 8-game conference schedules, 9-game conference schedules, cupcake FCS opponents late in the year. I mean, it is what it is. James Franklin makes that point. Take a look at Penn State's home schedule next year. Idaho is on it, which is an FCS school now. Penn State was grandfathered in to be able to play them because the game was scheduled before that. So Penn State's actually playing an FCS school next year. Buffalo is on the home schedule, which, I mean, the Bulls are having a nice season in the MAC, but still a MAC team. I mean, I know you'll get Pittsburgh back on there, but, you know, it's not as if Penn State's playing this bevy of, you know, non-conference power hitters. And so you can talk about all these things, but if you don't go undefeated, you put it into the committee's hands right there, and that's pretty much all there is to it.
Yeah, and the one interesting dynamic with that is that you did have a one loss Big Ten conference champion in Ohio State, but as we mentioned before, that one loss team looks so vulnerable in a lot of their wins to Penn State, Maryland just recently, Minnesota, you know, I'm pretty sure there's another one or two. And then when they lost 49-20 to a team that a Purdue team that had some nice moments this year, but was not in the same. It was not a top 15 team by any means. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Keep them in mind for the 2019 football season. Also keep track of GoPSURV.com as we get into the spring, talking about the blue-white game and those types of things. Check them out. It's an awesome situation. Big tailgating lot. Get your own RV. 100 times out of 100 beats getting a hotel room. You go, you split that with your buddies. A whole different ball game, a whole different way to take in a Penn State football weekend. Let's look at the matchups quick, Greg. Alabama, Oklahoma. I love the fact Alabama dug deep to find a way to beat Georgia. I know Georgia hurt themselves in that game, but Alabama, with that adjustment, you know, for that to come full circle, their quarterback situation, Tua Tagovailoa, struggled early, didn't get much going, wasn't quite himself, you could say, and they turned to Jalen Hurts, who accounts for 2 touchdowns total, 1 throwing,
yep,
1 running. He leads the comeback charge, starts a whole different dialogue out there about being a backup quarterback and being patient and waiting your turn and all those types of things. I think you can serve up Jalen Hurts as evidence that it could have a storybook ending, but I don't think there's any wrong or right in this situation. I just love the storyline. I love to see a kid who did hang around. I don't fault anybody for leaving, but I'd love to see a kid who hung around get a chance to deliver in a big moment and then to actually deliver when he got there. Good for him.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, I think that you knew early in that game that if Tua Tagovailoa injured, really, I mean, he was limping pretty decently or noticeably, I think, early in that game, and it just felt like there was a chance that he would eventually go downhill a little bit, and sure enough, he did. He eventually had to come out of the game. Hurts comes in, and yeah, it's a good story. You know, I saw Tommy Stevens tweeted about it, and obviously that's kind of something that, you know, he might have envisioned himself him doing at some point, was coming in, and he has obviously come in when Trace McSorley's been hurt and helped lead touchdown scoring drives, not in the SEC title game, of course, but I think it goes to show you just some of these guys that, you know, some of these guys leave and they find better things out there. There's examples of that in this year's college football playoffs, and some guys decide to stay and they wait for their opportunity, whether it's because another guy graduates or another guy gets hurt or he's ineffective or what have you. So it's certainly something to you know, behold, I think, in this day and age of where guys are transferring a lot and all that stuff. But yeah, it was a neat moment for sure.
And I'm Kyler Murray against that Bama defense. He's going to give them some problems because he's going to give everybody some problems. He's committed to play baseball for the Oakland A's. He's also, I don't know, he's got to be 5'9". He's not a big guy,
no,
but he's a powerhouse. He's quick. And his arm, you know, I didn't really watch him for an extended period of time except for in that Big 12 championship game this year. And his arm, he can make every single throw you need to throw. You talk about touch, you talk about the whole way across the field, outside the hashes, to the sideline, down the field. Mm-hmm. He delivers the ball with confidence. I think he might have won himself the Heisman with the way this past weekend went when he played so well against Texas and Tagovailoa had his issues against Georgia. Looking at the Clemson versus Notre Dame matchup, couple unbeatens. Notre Dame, you can't question why or if they deserve to be in the college football playoff. They played a decent schedule. They beat Michigan. They went 12-0. The resume got them in. There's still a little bit of suspicion, I guess, especially as you go against a, you know, a more traditional powerhouse like Clemson, who's been there for the past few years.
Uh-huh.
Notre Dame, you can't really point to one single thing that this group does well, but their defense keeps them in games. Their offense seems to make enough timely plays. The question is you're going against a team that has so much talent, is that enough? What are they going to do to beat Clemson? I'm sure that they have a capability of hanging in there. I know that Clemson came out as a double digit favorite. In
11 it opened at, yeah.
I still think there's a chance that they cover it. Maybe I got an anti-Notre Dame bias, but do you think the Fighting Irish can hang around?
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't think Clemson's as good as people think they are. I think they've had some games where they've struggled this year. And the month that prepares the ultimate equalizer, because obviously all of these coaches are tremendous game planners. They're tremendous coaches. They and their teams wouldn't be here if they didn't develop the way that they have. So, I mean, I think that ultimately what it comes down to is that, you know, for Penn State, for Notre Dame, they just have to find a way to slow down Trevor Lawrence. And obviously you have to game plan to stop that nasty Clemson defensive line too. They have to neutralize them somehow, but you have a month to do it. And we've seen teams with less time figure out a way to slow them down. Not for the whole game. You're never going to slow them down the whole game. But if you can keep them under, I would say 30 or 35 points, you have a shot to beat them. You just do. You know, even Pitt tried to make it a game there for a little bit before Clemson finally just had enough and put their foot down and ran away with it. But they are proven that you can, you know, you can get in their head a little bit and make things a little bit messy for the Tigers. So if Notre Dame's able to do that, I think they have a shot, absolutely. And I love the points. I know people are talking, oh, it's going to go to 14, it's going to go to 15. It can go as high as it wants or as low as it wants, quite honestly. But I don't think it drops below 10.
I'm going to kind of rattle off some of the other bowl games here, the New Year's Six type bowl games, and I'm going to try to not yawn as I do it. Michigan, Florida, and the Peach Bowl. We saw that matchup, what, was it 2 years ago? I'm not real good with the history component. Fiesta Bowl is UCF against LSU. Sugar Bowl, Georgia against Texas. Rose Bowl, Ohio State against Washington. None of those thrill me, Greg. I don't know how you feel about them.
Yawn.
Yeah, so we're both going to struggle with that. Big Ten, elsewhere in bowl games, Outback, Iowa against Joe Moorhead and Mississippi State. That has 9-7 written all over it. The Holiday Bowl, number 22 Northwestern against number 17 Utah. Also 9-7 written all over. You saw Utah in the Pac-12 championship game. Michigan State against Oregon in the Red Box Bowl. Love the name. Don't like the bowl. Music City, Purdue against Auburn. I'm intrigued by that one. Pinstripe Bowl, Miami against Wisconsin. We just saw that matchup a couple years ago, too. Quick Lane, Minnesota against Georgia Tech. So at least the Golden Gophers get to a bowl game. They get that triple option Georgia Tech attack there. We'll see. I'm curious to see how the point spreads unfold. We'll discuss that more on future Keystone Kickoff shows. For now, one more segment to go. Jeff Brown joins us. Talk Penn State hoops.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is Jim from Keystone Sports. In partnership with GoPSU RV, we are introducing the Keystone Sports Network RV. All the benefits of the GoPSU RV lot, along with great gift items like catered meal from 409 Barbecue, barbecue gift box, wine gift box, and of course, Labatt beer. Hear all about the KSN RV? Email me at info@ksnsports.net, or you could also reach out with the Contact Us button on your KSN app.